Hello, brothers and sisters and friends. This is Wednesday class at NUAG. Today, the name of this class is The Fields Are Ripe for the Harvest. And we're going to read John 4:35. It says, it's Jesus talking, and he says, "Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." And looking at King James Version, it says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields because they are white to harvest, already to harvest. So let's think about this saying of Jesus talking to his disciples, and let's talk a little bit about the context. Here we find Jesus in Samaria. It's this story about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Of course, none of the disciples thought Jesus was going to teach or do miracles there. Samaria was just a shortcut. I could even say that they were in a hurry. Imagine you were a disciple. Imagine you were there, going through Samaria, where you knew that people didn't want to be with you. Jewish people and people from Samaria did not get along well. So imagine if you were a disciple. Maybe you were thinking about going very quickly to get out of there. And remember, they didn't have the power yet, the Holy Spirit. So, and also, it was not time for harvest. The disciples could see just the green plants, not the white tips of the ripe wheat plants. So they were using their natural vision. When Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and see," in the natural, what they could see was just green plants because it was not time for harvest. So let's think about and analyze why Jesus said that to his disciples. You and I are also, let me tell you this, you and I are also told to lift up our eyes, because we are given a supernatural vision. We have natural eyes, but we also have a supernatural vision, the one that God gives us. So, let me tell you a story. This is kind of interesting. This story, it has to do with a king in Israel. His name was Aram. He was at war with Israel. But the Israelites were always safe. They could not be caught by this king. And one day, you know, the king Aram, he was so upset because every time he said, or he told his army where they were going to set up their camp, they were told by the prophet not to go there. There was a prophet of God telling the people from Israel, don't go there, because King Aram is going to be there. So this king was so bad, he felt so bad because he thought somebody was a traitor in his army. And so he asked, "Is there a traitor here? Who's telling the prophet of God where I go?" And he was explained about the presence of the prophet. This prophet was Elisha. This is a story, but it's in the Bible. So I'm not inventing this story. So Elisha, who knew everything the enemy talked in private, used to tell the people from Israel where to go or not to go. So the king gave an order. And the order was, find the prophet and kill everybody. In the morning, his army was surrounding the city. And you know what happened in the morning? I guess the prophet slept perfectly all night because he knew he had a good relationship with God. He was the son of God. He was a prophet. He knew God was with him. And they had a relation because they could communicate. So he was there. But that morning, the servant of the man of God got up and he saw the army. And he was so worried and he said, "What are we going to do?" Because when we see in the natural, we depend on our strength. And the enemy, let me tell you this, the enemy is always stronger than I am, unless Christ is in me. That was sermon Pastor had on Sunday, last Sunday. So the servant, the prophet's servant, was so worried, so sad, he was sure he was going to die. And I can think of what is happening now. Many people are thinking they're going to die. But God was there. He couldn't realize that because he was not using his spiritual vision. So in 2 Kings, if you want to go and see that the story I'm telling is true, 2 Kings 6:16, the prophet said, "Don't be afraid." Why are you afraid? Don't be afraid. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." But the problem is that the servant didn't see anybody except his enemies. And that's what happens to many people today. We just see with your natural vision, with natural eyes, and you see the enemies, you see the problem, you see the affliction, you see the tribulation. But people of God see what others don't. Psalm 119, verse 18, David said, "Open my eyes to see your wonderful things." So we need, if you're not seeing those great things of our Lord, just ask David's prayer, "Open my eyes to see your wonderful things." So Elisha the prophet prayed, "Open his eyes, God, please." And then, you know what happened? The Lord opened the servant's eyes. And when he saw, not with his natural eyes, but when he saw with his spiritual eyes, God led him. He looked and saw the hills, all the hills around the city. They were full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. So there was a big protection because always, God always has a protection around us, around his children. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter. He is always there. Even some people have told me, "Well, but if I die, what's the problem? When I die, as soon as I close my eyes, I'm going to open my eyes with Christ. So what's the problem? I'm going to get my crown before others." So no problem with that. The thing is that we should not fear, because that's an arm, that's a weapon the enemy is using today. You know, to have people running from one place to another one and thinking about what they're going to do, thinking about the future that has not come. We don't have to be worried about the future. It has not come. Just a day at a time. Because our Lord is always there. And he knows. He knew before us what was going to happen. What is going to happen to me in an hour or in 2 hours or in a minute or a second or in 1 week or 2 weeks or months or whatever. Because there's no time for him. He knows everything. So since I know he knows everything, I can trust him. Doesn't matter what happens. He knew that in advance. So I'm always depending on him. So this story, it's really, you know, I love it, because even when the enemy thinks he surrounds us, that was what some kings used to do in the past. They surrounded the city, so they got the city and killed everybody. But it's not that way with our God. It doesn't matter if the enemy surrounds us. There is a shield of protection. When Elisha's servant saw the chariots of fire, you know, the God's army is always superior to any king's army, any human army, because God is the Almighty. He has all the power. So if he is with us, why are we going to be afraid? There's nothing to be afraid of. So when Jesus was talking, and he was talking about the white fields, that represents an urgent call to the church, to us. Because some people say, my church in that place or another one, my church, referring to the building, but church is not a building. We are church. Church is us. So there's an urgent call to the church today, as the same as it was at that time when Jesus was talking there, and when he talked to the Samaritan woman, and when he told his disciples to look, lift their eyes and look the white fields ready for harvest. This call for action is a call for compassion, for, you know, be merciful. As Jude 1:22 says, that be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. We have the power to stop, you know, people from going to eternal punishment, from going to hell. We have the instruments. It is the word of God. And when people see that we are not afraid, we can talk to them peacefully. We can support them. We can advise, you know, give counseling, because we know who we trust in. So, as the verse says, we, the church, us, we need to be merciful. We have to be merciful to those that are in doubt today. For all that are, you know, suffering, afraid, in panic. Every day, you know, people are passing away, and some of them did not have a person to tell them there's hope, there's eternal life, because that was God's plan. That's why Jesus was going through Samaria, because the Bible says that he needed to go there. Nobody wanted to go through Samaria, but he needed to go there because he knew there was a woman there waiting for him, and there were a lot of people waiting for him, for his word, for salvation. That's his whole plan was for everybody, for all humanity, for all of us. That was the plan. There is no such thing as that somewhere predestined for bad and some for good, for evil. No. His plan was for everybody. All of us are creatures of God. So we need to change from being creatures to being children of God, which makes the difference. So lift up your eyes. This moment is also a shortcut to see the fields. All those people in pain and desperation, hopeless in grief, were in God's plans as well as we were before meeting the Lord. Cities are surrounded today. I could say that the world is surrounded today. But remember, we know the story of Job, and the Bible says that Job had a hedge. He had protection. We have a hedge also. What for? For going on vacation? No, this is not the time for going on vacation. Jesus said in John 4, I sent you to reap and harvest a crop for eternal life. That's our purpose being here. So those sinners those people that are, you know, committing sin, and because they don't know about the truth that we know, they are our harvest for the kingdom. We need to reach them. Can we share the living water we got from Jesus with others? Because I have living water in myself. From my inner, the Bible says that from our inner self, rivers were going to flow. We, all of us who know the word, who know we are in connection with Jesus Christ, with our Lord, we know there are rivers of living water flowing to give others that are thirsty. As the Samaritan woman said, she told Jesus, but how are you going to give me water if you don't have anything to get water from the well? And Jesus said, if you knew who's talking to you, I have the water that I can give you and you will never be thirsty again. And that's the water we have, because he gave it to us, for us to give it to others. So how can we do this? How can we share the living water? Call your friends. Call your relatives. Talk to them. Send notes. Instead of being joking, you know, many people are making jokes with this thing of this crisis we have now all around the world. Instead of making jokes, why don't we send the word? Why don't we give them, you know, a word of peace, comfort? That's what we need to do. Matthew 25, 26, and 28, Jesus said, he was talking about this man who didn't want to share. He didn't want to multiply the talent Jesus gave him. And so the verse, Matthew 25, 26 verse says, his master, the master of this person that got a gift, that got a talent, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather what I have not scattered seed. Maybe you can say, this is not fair. I know, because that was the excuse the servant gave. He said, I knew that you, what does it say? I knew you harvest where you have not sown and gather where you have not scattered seed. So I hid my talent. And that's not an excuse. So he said, I took the barrel of gold and I just hid it. And verse 28 says, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. So why he harvests where he did not sow? For those of you who may think that that's not fair, why? Because that's our job. Because we were hired to do that. Because we are given the seed for us to be workers, for us to be sowers, and for us to be reapers also. So we have the seed. And the Lord, our God, he trusted, you know, in us to give us the seed. He knew we were going to scatter the seed. So that's our job. Matthew 9, 37 and 38 says, then he, talking about Jesus, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Dear friends, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear family, we have the opportunity to lift up our eyes and reach those Samaritans, those friends, those relatives, those neighbors, those co-workers. The harvest is ready. If you don't want to use your spiritual vision, you're going to see green plants. But God says they are not green plants anymore. God can see them like the white wheat ready harvest. They are there waiting for us to go and gather them and share what we have and making them be part of the kingdom. I cannot be satisfied being part of the kingdom when I know there are others that aren't. Because I'm not more than they are. I'm not better than they are. I am exactly the same. But as I always say, it's His grace that makes me different. So, and His grace was given not only for me. His grace is there for everybody who wants to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I want to be part of your kingdom. I'm going to follow you. I don't want to wait till the end, because many people are going to be surprised. Let me tell you this. I don't want you to be fearful. But many people at the end, they're going, if today the world is running, you know, everybody is running and many people are worried. Imagine what's going to happen at the end. So this is the time. The harvest is ready. This is the time. Let's reach all those in need, in pain, and pray. Pray for them, and pray for the ones that are working in the kingdom. Pray for pastors. Pray for missionaries. Pray for everybody that is spreading the word. Nobody is going to stop the word of God. Nobody. If you don't talk, you know what the Bible says? If you don't talk, if God needs the stones to speak, the rocks, they're going to do it. Because nothing is going to stop His word. But the thing is that I am responsible for what I do or what I don't do. If I hit my talent, you know, it's going to be taken from me and given to another person. I want more and more and more. So let's begin doing our work. And if we are doing the work, let's work more. This is the time to work more. Because, you know, when the harvest is ready, we need a lot of people. As I always, you know, I always talk about my country. And you know that when it is time for picking the coffee grains, we need to hire people from other countries, from Nicaragua and other countries, because there are not enough people. The farmer can grow the seeds, and the farmer can take care of the seed, the plants also, but he needs more people to get the harvest. We need more people today. Jesus said the workers are a few, and we need to change that for being a few to being many. All of us, it's a compromise, you know. That's our commitment. That's the main commandment Jesus gave to His church. Go to the world, telling the truth, making disciples. It's not a matter of just saying the word. It's keep on working with those people, and that's going to be your harvest. And at the end, you know, it is for God. Because everything we do here, we do it for Him. Not for people, not for any human being. We do it for our Lord. And we are going to be rewarded by the Lord, by Him. God bless you all. Thank you very much. Thank you.